Good morning. Good morning, all my Meniere's people. Gonna drop a self-check-in podcast this morning. No interviews, just kind of checking in. My son graduated a few weeks ago, so things have been busy. And as Meniere's folks know, when you're busy and stressed, sometimes your symptoms pop back up again. So I thought it was a good time to just do a self-check-in, check in to see how everybody else was doing, and we will go from there. Good morning, everyone, on a Thursday morning, July 1st. I hope everyone, so far this morning, I'm Central Time, so it's 7:04. Hope everyone's having a dizzy-free day. I've had a good day. Of course, it's been 1 year, 5 months, since I've had my labyrinthectomy, so I am not dealing with the major symptoms like a lot of people still are, and I'm very grateful for that. But Meniere's, being what it is, still rears tiny little things here and there to try to knock me off balance as usual. So, but overall, doing very good. I'm a big advocate for the labyrinthectomy, as everybody knows, if you're a good candidate for it. Now, again, I'm unilateral. I just have it in the one ear. Or is that bilateral? No, it's unilateral. I do not have it in both ears, and God, do I feel for the people that have it in both ears. I can't even imagine. So I was a good candidate for the labyrinthectomy, and it was life-changer for me. Vertigo is gone. However, let me kind of chit-chat about what still is there, and I know there's a few other people in the support groups, the Facebook support groups that have had labyrinthectomies just now that COVID is winding down. And they can get appointments again and surgeries. People are having the labyrinthectomies done. And overall seems very positive. I still obviously suffer from TMJ, which I think goes hand in hand with a lot of the Meniere's symptoms as well as a lot of other inner ear stuff. So I still do my physical therapy. I don't go to the physical therapist anymore. Copays, let's be real. But I do my exercises at home. I'm always amazed at those arm circle exercises, how that can really hurt. And that shows you how tight your jaw is. Like mine must be just Olympic because I have to do my exercises in the morning and at night. And it hurts all the time. I still clench my jaw. I wear my deal at night. It's just something I'm going to have to watch forever. I still wear my hearing aids. I had to take one in and one stopped working. So because of the labyrinthectomy, I obviously am completely deaf on my Meniere's ear on the right side, and the hearing aid bounces the one to the other. I love it. It comes with some weirdness. Like I can't tell when people, like my son who just graduated from high school, he's talking to me somewhere. I can't tell where he's at in the house. It completely sounds like he's across the room or even outside, and I'm like, where are you? And he'll be right next door in the next room or sometimes behind me. So that was something that I wasn't quite ready for, but hey, you know, it's better than vertigo, right? Anything is better than vertigo. I also can't hear anything in stereo. So, you know, I wear headphones and stuff still, but obviously don't really need to on the right side. I can't hear anything. So if things are mixed in stereo, especially songs, it sounds different in my head and in my ears just because, which is another thing I never thought of, which is super weird. But again, totally grateful, and it doesn't bother me because as all Meniere's people know, vertigo is the worst. So I'll give up stereo for God's sake and being able to tell what room people are in and can't hear real well. That's okay. I'll give it up. I still go to my chiropractor. I was kind of slacking and missed a few months, but I went back in just yesterday, actually, at 4. And I'm sore today, but it was my own fault because I hadn't went in a few months. And, you know, things shift back a little bit. So it's something you always have to keep an eye on. I also, with a labyrinthectomy, my diet pretty much, I mean, it went back to normal. Now, during kind of pre-labyrinthectomy, I was on low-sodium everything. So trying to eat fresh, eat as healthy as I could. I did eat way more pasta than usual. Like I love like veggie pastas, things like that. But they have a lot of carbs in it. So like everybody else, I put on, boy, I would say at least 15 pounds during COVID with this pasta and just everything carby. God, it seems like everything carbs I love. And it's, if I can find it in low sodium, I'm going to buy it. So I had to make a change there. And since I could, the labyrinthectomy, and it gives me a little more room to move with my diet, I pretty much eat whatever I want, but I still follow the low sodium regime just because, hey, I'm 51 and I should be anyway, right? We all eat too much salt, let's be honest. So, and I also did one of my friends back in Iowa is a big Yoli, Y-O-L-I, a big Yoli, big wig. She sells it and things. And I heard about their transformation kit. You just do it for a month. And basically, they just kind of make you be healthy. That's what it is. Like, they have their little energy shakes and things like that. But it's basically just teaching you how to be healthier with things. And I did that. And by God, I did it for the second month, too. It's kind of pricey, but it's totally worth it. And I dropped, boy, I'm down at least 25 pounds, if not more. So I feel great. So back to where I'm supposed to be in my clothes fit, basically just exercising like I always do and just eating less carbs, let's be honest. I love carbs. If I cut down on that and just eat fresher vegetables and fruits and things, I do just fine, even though that's really hard, I know. But if predominantly we can focus on doing that, you'll be fine and you'll maintain your weight. So that's kind of where I'm at. I did mention in the intro that my son graduated from high school the beginning of the month, and we had his graduation party, and everything went well. But, you know, it's stressful, and he'll be moving. This is my one and only kid. I'm a single mom, so this is my one and only son. He'll be attending St. John's in the fall, which is a private Catholic school in Collegeville, Minnesota. Yes, financial aid. So I'm excited for him to do that. And that'll be stressful too. I'll be an emotional mess. And I run an event at the Minnesota State Fair. So August, I'm a little nervous about, folks. I got to be honest. I'm hoping I'll probably have to be on Meclizine the entire time. But we'll see how it goes. Oh, and in that vein, I am completely off of all meds. Every now and then when I do feel, you know, you feel off and whooshy sometimes, usually it's in the evening after I've really pushed it, and I take a few Meclizine, that's about all I take anymore, and that's pretty darn good considering I was on everything before the labyrinthectomy. So just a quick check in there. If folks haven't, and I know most who listen to my podcast are already in a lot of these private and public Facebook groups. But I was amazed and pleasantly surprised that I think the number of groups are growing for Meniere's folks. I counted 44 and up. There might even be closer to 50 Facebook groups now. You know, some are better than others. They all do their own thing. Like I was interested in the partners of Meniere's sufferers. That's interesting. Just kind of support group for those that are right in step with us. In fact, maybe from the next guest, I'll interview someone who has had a husband or wife that's been a Meniere sufferer for years, because it's stressful for them too. And we ask a lot of them. Now, granted, we're chronic disease sufferers and we're a lot of times in our own misery if you're in the bathroom and can't think past your nausea, but that's hard on your partner to see that too. So I just thought that was an interesting perspective and I was going to check it out. There's also a Christian prayer group for Meniere. So hey, any little bit helps, whatever you believe. So I thought that was interesting. And my favorite one though was the Meniere's disease Australia. They call it the Down Under disease. Oh my God, that's like the best name ever. But it's just for Australia folks. So but I love their name, the Down Under disease. Oh, that's fabulous. I also just got on TikTok, mainly because of my son. I don't know how to navigate it whatsoever. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that there's some folks on TikTok who are posting about Meniere's. And those of you who are smarter than me on TikTok already know this. But I'm quite enjoying their videos on Meniere's and how they're basically thumbing their nose at the disease and just trying to stay positive, and they're in the fight. I mean, right? Sometimes that's all you can do. I don't know. This app is not public yet, but there's a place called Clubhouse. It's like an audio app. I'm in there, and I can't say I was pleasantly surprised, unpleasantly surprised. There's hardly any Meneers anything in there. Just kind of like the podcast. It pops up here and there. If people put it in their profile, they suffer from Meneers disease, it'll pop up. But there's only one group, and I think it's called Meneers, Living with Meneers, and it had 3 members. Oh, God. And 9 followers. I'm like, gads. Like, Clubhouse has millions of people in it from all over the world, but sometimes we can all relate to this, right? It's hard to find each other because Meneers disease isn't really something that's out there. People don't know anything about it. A lot of times we don't like to talk about the symptoms because, let's face it, they suck. So, yeah. I know there's been a few other high-profile people that come out with Meneers disease too. Any little bit helps to raise awareness for Meneers disease, because we need more of that. I noticed on these face groups, so, you know, on Facebook, just go into groups and put in Meneers, and they all pop up and pick, you know, what suits you. But a lot of people are talking about the heat all over the United States and all over the world, for that matter. How it's affecting them. It's been tough. I'm one that struggles a little bit with heat anyway, so I always have to watch it. I know one gal put a positive post on there. She didn't get dizzy while she was getting her hair done, and it made me smile, because we have to be grateful for the little things, don't we, Meneers people? Just little things like that they're so easy for other people can really knock us off our balance and off our base. But she was just so happy that, you know, she could get her hair done. And it's usually tipping back in that bowl, the shampoo, I'm guessing, because that's kind of what used to bother me. It still does. It doesn't bother me. But when you get up, you're like, woo, you kind of, everything shifts a little bit. People are talking about their relationships, mainly their partner not supporting them. Which would really bite. I have a fiance. Again, I'm a single mother, but I am engaged. And yes, back when I had my main symptoms, I don't think he knows a thing about Meneers disease. He's learned, obviously, over the years, but it confuses him, makes him feel real bad. I guess they feel real powerless, and that would be frustrating too, to not be able to help at all. I mean, there's nothing you can do when your partner's in the bathroom feeling sick, right? You just have to stand outside the door and see if they need anything and then just leave, you know, leave them alone until it passes. That's really about all you can do. I know folks are complaining about, and rightly so, the tinnitus just ongoing, how bad it is. It's worse with the heat right now. A lot of folks are talking about how the diet has been tough, finding low sodium foods, which is always a challenge to a point. I know someone just posted this morning about how important it is to hydrate. And it's something I think that we do overlook. And that's something Yoli helped me too with a little bit. It really made you focus on exactly how much you're drinking, water, not wine, during the day. I have to put a post-it note up at work that says H2O, and it's to remind me to drink damn water, because you get busy and you forget. Sometimes I even try to keep track of the glasses too, because you really have to drink a lot of water. I add a little lemon to it. I know some people find it hard to just sit there and like gush water down, but anyway, it really does help. But put up a note if you need help with a reminder with that. Folks kind of talking about the challenge of working out, but they still do it. Someone just posted about that yesterday, and I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I played basketball in college, so I don't know how not to work out. It kind of is a stress reliever for me. I know there's some days, if you're just not feeling it, you're just going to have to do a little bit, like maybe just a short walk, skip the weights or something, or hard cardio. I like to bike, but that can be tough on certain days, especially, I got to buy a side mirror. My side mirror fell off. So now I'm always having to look over my shoulder, and oh, you know how that goes. You look to your right or to your left, everything kind of shifts. And if you're on your bike, that's not, I always wear my helmet. that's not real good. So I have to really watch that and not be going 100 miles an hour when I'm going to be checking over my shoulder. Again, see, just another little thing. My fiance loves to bike, and he kind of forgets that everything will shift when I look over my shoulder or double check things. And so I have to slow down sometimes. So yeah, I'm still working out, and I know a lot of folks are commenting on exercise and how important it is. I mean, overall, I just tell people when they reach out to me, by the way, you can reach out to me either on this podcast platforms or any of the platforms, but I do have a Facebook page for Meneer's Puzzle Podcast, and I do get back to folks right away, or at least I try. I do now. I know in the beginning when I was first learning this, I didn't, but I do now. Just a lot of folks actually reach out to me right before they have their labyrinthectomy, and that's fine. I love to walk people through it, you know, how it worked for me, maybe telling them how they might feel. Again, I know everyone is different, and it also depends on any other conditions you may have. I didn't have anything else going in, which makes it easier for me, and I know a lot of people going in have some other things that they're struggling with, so that it depends. But I always tell people it's totally worth it. Anything is better than your quality of life with vertigo and you're not knowing when it hits, which kind of leads into my next little topic here. I still do carry my little, and I'm sure everybody does this to a point, a little Meneer's kit in my backpack purse all the time. I still have my Valium in there. I wonder if those expired, but they're still in there. You know, I used to carry them for the major attacks that would hit me, mainly right before I was driving or trying to drive, or just so I could get home, that type of thing. That's why I carried those. I always carry meclizine there and there, and there's a cheaper version of meclizine I see, like a Dronamine. I have my little earplugs for when I go, I haven't used this in a while, but when I go to concerts and things, obviously, I have to take out my hearing aids and I put in plugs just because I have to be vigilant on protecting that other ear because it's the last one I got and I want to make sure I can hear out of it forever. So that's my plan. And then I also have in there ginger chews, mango flavor. The label says Prince of Peace. I don't remember buying these, but I know that the ginger chews help with nausea. Nausea is still, even though I don't get vertigo or anything, I do get waves of nausea here and there still. I suppose that's still the balance thing that I'm still locking in. It can take some years to lock in. I also just tried, I saw it on one of the Facebook groups, just saying, it's called D-Vertigo. It's basically a topical oil. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it works awesome. I had a friend who was into oils and she had made me something and I laughed because when I bought D-Vertigo and I smelled it, it was almost the same as what she made me. So it must be certain scents that help with nausea. I mean, it's to help with nausea basically. So it looks like it has lavender, peppermint, frankincense, chamomile, and myrrh in there. And those are probably exactly what's in the homemade version. I knew lavender and peppermint. Peppermint for me is a big one. I don't know if it's the sharp tang of it, but it just helps cut the nausea sometimes. So, I mean, that's worth a shot to everybody. Remember peppermint. I grow big peppermint plants on my deck too. Because right when you cut them, they're super fragrant. So, and then I dry them out myself. Just to have them. So in summary, I know I'm rambling about my self-check-in, but I just wanted everyone to know that I was thinking about all of them. I've been having great months after the labyrinthectomy, just a few little feeling off spells, but I will take that. That is nothing compared to a full-blown vertigo every other day, which is what I was dealing with. And I know on some of these sites, I think there was a positive face group for Meneer's disease. And everyone's like, you know, you just have to be grateful. We have to be grateful for, and I get it that a lot of people are like, oh, that just doesn't work for me. Because when you're knee deep in the stuff of Meneer's disease, it is tough to think macro. I mean, I think almost you have to go micro and just be grateful for sometimes hours, sometimes days that you're feeling good. The bigger picture shrinks way down. And just sometimes we got to be grateful for those who support us, being grateful for the good days we have, and hopefully looking forward and being grateful to something helping us that maybe they can actually put some money and research into Meniere's disease to see if they can help folks. Some more education for ENTs and doctors maybe to understand it a little more. And chit-chatting with their patients better, because that's a big theme I see popping up on the Facebook groups too. People very frustrated with that. It's always a journey, right? But I did find my perfect ENT. They're out there. You just have to, and they care. And they, if you find a good one, they're worth their weight in gold. He was the one that actually did my laparothectomy. You just have to sometimes, it takes some looking, just like anything else. So I get it. I'm totally grateful for my laparothectomy and how I feel now. I'm grateful for my little podcast, my little homemade podcast that I do on my phone, because it lets me reach out to other Meniere's folks all over the country and the world, for that matter, because we're not alone. We're all suffering with the same thing, and we want it to stop. We just want someone to listen to us sometimes and to support us and to understand and not think that it's all happening in our heads. So I hope everyone is going to have a dizzy-free day. I'm thinking about all of you. Please reach out. I love, love, love topic ideas. Also, because again, it's just me, myself, and I doing this on my phone. So love ideas on what you think would be good guests down the road. And again, everyone have a dizzy-free day. I'm actually off to see Dr. Fernandez. She was my last interview on the podcast for my TMJ once a year appointment. So yeah, it'll be fun to see her again, and we'll see how my TMJ is. I mean, it's always there. It's never really that better, but it's good to go in and get checked and get the mouth guard. You know, they do whatever they do to fit it in your mouth. So looking forward to that at 8:10 this morning. So I have to hop in, get ready, and head to Dr. Fernandez's office. So again, dizzy free day, everybody. I'll talk to you later.